Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Man has worked the field since his fall, by beast or by crop, in plenty and in drought. He must tame the land or be tamed by it. The shepherd knows this well. He is a keeper. He is a guardian. He is a guide. And his flock, aimless in all their attempts, pulls him far away to chase their fickle hearts. How peculiar it is that God omnipotent would take the post of a shepherd.
Afraid?
You don't be afraid.
For I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born this night in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.
A baby?
Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men! Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men! Glory to God in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward men!
So the shepherds left their flock and hurried to the village of Bethlehem. In society's eyes, shepherds should not be the first ones to greet the King of Kings. But isn't that just like the Creator of the universe? He uses lowly people to do amazing things for his glory.
Nothing this side of heaven could take the place of the shock and holy awe that the shepherds experienced on the night that heaven came down and kissed the earth. When the heavenly host just lit up the night sky and blasted the chorus proclaiming the call of Christmas, it was a call to praise. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Those were the words that the angels proclaimed on the night that Jesus, the eternal King, who was and who is to come, took on flesh and was born in a manger. One of my seminary professors, Dr. Earl Ellis, said these words about that unforgettable holy night. He said, "The splendor of the vision is in sharp contrast to the commonness of the event." Think about that, a simple manger holding the Messiah coupled with a magnificent message from the angel that was magnified in song by the heavenly host. Think about it. Think about it. On earth, as it is in heaven, just became real. It just became real. Let's read about that real night that really happened in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. It's in Luke chapter 2. Turn your phones on if you're if your Bible's on your phone. Turn your phone on if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. Luke chapter 2 is going to be on page 857. If you don't have a Bible, come see me in the Home Life Center when we're finished. I'll give you a brand new Bible this morning. As we read the story, the Christmas story, the story that happened 2,000 years ago. Watch the call of Christmas. Just take the shepherd's breath away as the angel and the heavenly host proclaim and praise His Majesty's arrival. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. It says this, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him where? Laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying where? In a manger. There's your sign. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." Underline that word in your Bible. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying where? In a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God. Underline that word praising again. Glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Advent message that the angel had communicated to Mary and Joseph months ago, back in Nazareth, had finally arrived. Jesus, the Messiah, was born to Mary, the Virgin Mary and to her faithful man, Joseph, who was by her side all the way. And when the angel shared the message of the Messiah in the very first public setting, it was out in the fields to a bunch of society's outcasts, the lowly shepherds. Yes, the message of the Messiah first went public by the angels to the shepherds who were out in their fields with their sheep. Look again at verses 8 and 9. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great," what? "Great fear." Great fear. It's really significant for us to think about the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds, they were the lowest class of society in that day. The shepherds, they were the ones who were included in the very first public announcement of the Messiah. Think about that. What does that mean? That means this: God will not exclude any people from His good news. Nobody should be left out. Nobody. Even though shepherds were considered lowly in their occupation, untrustworthy in their character, and ceremonially unclean for their worship, this was the group with whom God wanted the message to first go public. How great is that? And what the shepherds experienced out in the fields was unforgettable. It all but took their breath away. That's why the very first words from the angel dealt with naming and trying to dissipate their emotion of fear. In Luke 2:10, it says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not.'" Fear not. I love what one of the shepherds said. "You fear not. You don't be afraid. Are you kidding me?" Billy Graham writes in his book, Angels, God's Secret Agents, how over and over again, the presence of angels was a frightening presence. It represented something that would take your breath away. It had such a greatness and such a gravity to their appearance that it would just send a chill down a person's spine. But when the angel had quieted or tried to quiet the fears of these lowly shepherds, he brought this message, one that forever would be joined to the good news. Verses 10 and 12 go on to say what the message was. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying where? In a manger." We see it three different times in the passages. Three different times. A manger and a manger and a manger. There's your sign. As Dr. Graham goes on to say in his book, the angel brought good news, not bad news. Good news, not bad news. I mean, the shepherds, they already knew bad news existed. They already knew the bad news of the human race, that they had sinned, that they were walking around in darkness. Their lives were broken. Humanity was broken. But the angel had come to tell them God was doing something about their lostness. He was doing something about their darkness. And he points out that this good news was not simply for the people of just one nation, Israel, but for the people of the whole world, all the nations, all the people. And the good news was that the Savior had arrived. That's the good news, that the Savior had arrived. Savior. In the ancient world, a Savior was thought primarily of someone who came and delivered people from disease or from danger or from some kind of predicament that they were in that day and age. And Jesus, He was arriving to cure the sin problem of humanity once and for all. The human race needed somebody, someone who could come and who could bring them back out of the darkness, back into the light, back into fellowship and relationship with a holy God. Think about that. The blood that kept being spilled over and over in sacrifice from lambs and goats and sometimes bulls and all different kinds of worship ceremony could not, no matter how much blood was spilled by those animals, it could not bring people out of their darkness, out of their sin, out of their brokenness, out of their lostness, and back into relationship with God. But the lifeblood, the pure, sinless lifeblood of a Savior could. And that's the good news. And the angel message was that God had come. Redemption was possible. This Savior was Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Really interesting names for our Savior, for our Messiah. Christ is the name that means Messiah, the anointed one to rule as the king in fulfillment to God's promise of the lineage that we read about earlier, the lineage of David, King David. King David, he would be the heir to his lineage, the heir to his throne, this Messiah, this Savior, this Christ. Christ the Lord. Lord is a title and a name that speaks of the divine nature of the one who was born. It's a reference back to one of the names of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh, Lord. And the Lord had visited His people with salvation in a divine and in a promise-fulfilling way. And it was further validated. It was further proclaimed and accompanied with this call to praise when the angel army of heaven showed up in the night sky over the fields where the shepherds were with their flocks. Look what it says in verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Now, I want you to notice something here. This popped for me. This really popped for me as I was reading and studying. And it's this. It's how kind our God really is. Notice the kindness of God unfolding as this message takes place with the shepherds. Because first off, God sends how many angels to the shepherds? Just one. He sends a single angel to meet these men of the field. And then as they catch their breath and they begin to understand, okay, I'm not going to die, or at least I don't think I am. It's going to be okay. He's telling me to fear not. Okay. Think about this. After they catch their breath, then the heavenly host shows up. The heavenly host breaks onto the scene, lights up the sky with their presence, with their praise. Now think about it. Had the order been reversed? Had the multitude showed up before the one? Those shepherds probably would have had a heart attack and just died right then. I mean, you just can't contain all of that glory. Think about that. One showed up, told him to hang on, we're good. And then the heavenly host showed up. Think about where they had been since the moment they had been created. They were created beings by the Holy One. And God sent one angel before he sends the host of angels. And those hosts of angels, along with that one angel, they had resided throughout eternity from all creation up to this point. They had resided around the heavenly throne of God. And they had consistently worshiped his name, called out praises to their God and King. That's where they had been. That's what they'd been doing. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And just keep saying forever and ever. That's how long, plus forever, they'd been worshiping the King in heaven. And now it's on earth as it is in where? Heaven. Heaven just came down and kissed the earth. And broke in. It was a glorious moment. God had provided a way for salvation for all of humanity. And these angels had been around Jesus' throne in heaven. And now, think about it. Think about it through their eyes. Now, they're sitting here seeing their King, the eternal King, at the total opposite end of their spectrum. From holy Jesus on his throne in heaven, now wrapped in strips of cloth as a human baby lying where? In a manger. Born in a dark, damp, stinky stable, wrapped not in his usual robes of splendor and glory, but little strips of swaddling cloth, not seated upon his royal golden throne, but now lying, sleeping in a feed trough, a simple manger. And I'm telling you, those angels stood in awe. They stood in awe. Because what they saw their King demonstrating was a love that was so self-sacrificing and so pure that it just blew the angels away. No wonder, therefore, that from the bottom of the angels' beings, they shouted out, "Glory to God in the highest!" The incarnation, holy God becoming human, holy God becoming human flesh, that, men and women, was a call, the call to praise, because that is what the angels had been doing since their creation. They are created supernatural beings, and from the inception of their creation, that's all they'd been doing, is glorifying and praising their King as best they could. The angels desire that all creation will join in and praise the holy name of Jesus. Praise Jesus' name on earth as it is in heaven. That is the call of Christmas. It is a call to praise the Holy One, the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Man, the angels' demonstration before the shepherds that Christmas night, I'm telling you, it made such an indelible impression. Think about it. The angels came down and did what they'd been doing throughout time and eternity, and the shepherds got a front row seat into heaven. You ever thought about that? They got a front row seat. They don't sell those kind of seats on StubHub. But they got them. And they enjoyed them. And it totally made an impression on them. The shepherds soon would heed their call of Christmas, and they would join in the angelic host praising them and praising the name of Jesus. And they would go first, and they would find their Lord in a manger. Look in verses 15 to 20. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a," what? "In a manger." So simple. Here's your sign. He's going to be wrapped up and lying in a manger. Don't know what all the other babies in Bethlehem are going to be lying in, but the Messiah is going to be lying in a manger. Look for the baby in the manger. That's the one who's the king. That's the one the angels have been worshiping. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Think about that. You saw what? You did what? Well, here you are. All who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, moms always have a different perspective on things, don't they? Mm-hmm. Mary treasured up all these things. Why? She's thinking about, I had an angel talk to me about 9 months ago. I'm with you, shepherd. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Shepherds were told that the manger would be the sign that would indicate which baby in Bethlehem would be the one and only one who would save all the people from their sin. It says they went with haste, and they found everything just as the angel had said. Now that's the trick, isn't it? That is the trick. You know what to do. I know what to do. But the question is, are we going to do it? Do we do what we know we're to do? Think about it. The doctor prescribes the treatment, but you've got to take it. The financial planner can sit down with you and help you manage a plan, get a plan there to get you out of debt. But at the end of the day, you've got to implement it. You've got to execute it. The trainer tells you, oh, you got to lift these weights. You got to do these drills. You got to get your heart rate up. But at the end of the day, you're the one who's got to go and do it. The shepherds in the scripture knew what they had been told. But then they had to make a choice. We got to go. We got to go do it. And they did. Let me just ask you to think for a second. What is it in your life that you know you should do? You've been thinking about doing it. You may have even been praying about if you should do it or not. You've been doing the pro and con list and kind of laying it out there before you, looking at your options. What is that thing in your life that, just like the shepherds, you know you need to go ahead and go? Go ahead and do it. I mean, is it extending the olive branch and making peace with somebody that you've just been warring with or passive aggressive with for the last several Christmases? Can I just tell you, this is the perfect Christmas to extend the olive branch. Go ahead and go. Go ahead and do it. We talk every single week around here about loving your neighbor. And you've been thinking about introducing yourself to your neighbor. I mean, yeah, you sit there and you do the, hey, how's it going? Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah, okay. You kind of know who they, but you don't know them. And you know you should know them. You know you should love your neighbor. Here's what you're going to do today. You're going to go back home. You're going to wrap up those good cookies that are there, the Christmas cookies, or that really good Christmas bread. Don't wrap up the fruitcake Aunt Mary gave you, because that would be a terrible first real impression for your neighbor. Because nobody really likes fruitcake. Fruitcake is from the enemy, okay? Don't give them the fruitcake. But wrap up the good bread, the good Christmas cookies. March over to their home, knock on that door. When you get home from church, say, Merry Christmas. I just want you to know I'm glad that we're neighbors. And make a point to go ahead and go. Go ahead and do it. And let that be a beginning of a relationship that takes you in to 2017. Where is it that you need to go ahead and go? What is it that you need to go ahead and do? Be like the shepherds. Go ahead and go. Go ahead and do it. The shepherds heard all the info from the angels, and they were given their invitation to go and praise the newborn king, but they had to take the first step and actually go and actually do it. And go they did. And when they got there, they told all who were present everything that the angel had told them. Suddenly, think about it, the secret was out. It was no longer just a Mary and Joseph secret that they'd been holding on to for the last 9 months. These men of the fields had been told where to find the Messiah. Look for the baby in the manger, wrapped up in those swaddling cloths. There's your sign. And that message is what Mary treasured up in her heart. And it's the message that the shepherds would tell to all whom they came into contact with upon their return to their jobs. Now, don't miss that part either. We're wrapping up here. Don't miss that part. They went back to work after they celebrated Jesus' birth. At some point, let me just break it to you, we all got to go back to work. We all got to go back to school. We all got to go back to our responsibilities. The shepherds did. Don't overlook the fact that the shepherds not only were the first evangelists of the good news, but also that they went back to work. There's your news flash for you this Christmas. At some point, it all goes back in the box, and we've got to go back to work. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen for you today. Hopefully you have the whole day off, and you enjoy this day and maybe the next couple of days with your family, with your friends, playing with your toys, eating that good food, not the fruitcake. That's bad. Bad. Stay away from the fruitcake. But when the time comes, head back to your responsibilities and do them well. And don't just do your job. Tell people the motivation for why you're doing it well. It's not just to get a paycheck. It's to praise His name with your lips and with your lives. That's what the shepherds were doing for the shepherds. They went back to their sheep out in the fields and back to their responsibility of being excellent and alert shepherds. And everywhere they went, they lived lives of praise, and they told everybody that they came into contact with the good news of Jesus. Their work, don't miss this, their work was part of the way that they worshiped. They lived lives of praise, and they pointed people to Jesus. They were His star, as we talked about last night, pointing people to the King of Kings, the one and only. And men and women, we get to be like the shepherds, living lives of praise and letting our approach to our work be a part of the way that we worship the Lord. And as we work with excellence, we become intentional about sharing the story of Jesus and pointing people to Jesus with our lives and with our lips. The call of Christmas is a call to praise. Wherever we are. And before we go back to our responsibilities, before we head back to our families, I don't want us to miss an opportunity to praise His name as His people. I want to ask our worship team to come back up, and they're going to prepare to just lead us in a couple of songs before we're dismissed. And before we sing, I want to invite anybody who's never put his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus and received His gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins from Jesus the Messiah. If you've never done that and you'd like to do that, I invite you just to pray a very simple prayer. It's a prayer that I call an ABC prayer. Three little parts, and you're going, man, this sounds complicated. It's not. It's really simple. Even a child could do it and has done it. I'm not going to embarrass you or make you come down front or stand up or sign anything. But if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to A, admit that He's the Savior and you're a sinner, and your sin separates you from God. And B, I want to invite you to believe that He really came from heaven to earth to live a sinless life, down a cross for the sin of all the world, that we might be in right relationship with God. So A, admit He's the Savior, you're the sinner. B, believe that Jesus is who He says He is and did what He said He was going to do. And then C, call. Call on the name of the Lord. The scripture says all who call on the name of the Lord will be praised. So I want to invite you just to pray with me. Just right where you're at, would you bow your head? And if you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, and you'd like to do that right where you're at, would you just be so bold to just whisper this prayer to Him, either out loud or in your heart and mind? You can just echo this prayer. Dear Jesus, I love You. I believe You're the Savior. I admit You are the Savior. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe in You, Jesus. And right now, this Christmas morning, I call on Your name. Would You save me from my sin and bring light into my life? Thank You, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.